Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News. For Monday, February 9th, I'm Faith Miller. Rap mogul Suge Knight appeared in court today, where his bail hearing was postponed until March 20th. Knight faces murder and attempted murder charges for allegedly running over two men in his car, killing one and injuring the other. Attorney David Kenner says he requested the postponement to give him time to find out what evidence will be presented against Knight.
I don't know what people have made up or what they've said or anything of that nature, but that's why I need the material so I can be prepared to cross-examine anybody that they intend to put on to make sure that what we're getting is the truth and not what the district attorney believes it to be.
Prosecutor Cynthia Barnes says she has a large stack of uncharged crimes against Knight and that she'll fight to keep him behind bars. Knight's business partner, Mark Blankenship, says that he and Everlert Entertainment will post bail if a judge approves it.
There's no limit as to what we would do to protect Suge Knight.
Knight could be given life in prison if he is convicted of the charges against him. A Los Angeles police officer driving a bomb squad vehicle struck and killed a man on Culver Boulevard early this morning. The LAPD says the officer did not realize he hit a pedestrian at first. He returned to the area twice before he found the victim. He called paramedics, and the victim was pronounced dead at the scene. The accident is under investigation, but police say the fog may have been a factor. A new center opened in South LA's Crenshaw District to help businesses impacted by metro construction of the Crenshaw LAX light rail line. Tara Campbell watched as Mayor Eric Garcetti took a tour of the facility.
LA's small businesses are the backbone of this town.
Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti cut the ribbon for the grand opening of the new Business Solutions Center. The facility will financially assist businesses during the construction of the Crenshaw LAX line, the largest public works project in the nation.
This center today is about making sure businesses get the support that they need while the city makes infrastructure investments that Angelenos deserve.
Also present for the opening, Inglewood Mayor James Butts, who spoke about the future ups and downs of the new metro project.
I know we'll experience short-term pain before we realize the long-term gain of this project.
Del Richards of Del Richards & Associates Incorporated is happy about the support Metro is giving her business and the businesses in the surrounding area.
Given the importance of transportation in our economy, it's significant that Metro is making the investment in this community.
The $2 billion LA Metro project is on track to finish its Crenshaw to LAX line by 2019. Tara Campbell, Annenberg Radio News.
The California Department of Conservation proposed a plan today to protect the state's clean water supply. We talked with a department official about the state's oil drilling policies. Ben Krause reports.
As part of California's Safe Drinking Water Act, certain water supply wells are protected from oil drilling. However, there are some locations where the water quality is low enough to allow for exemptions to these drilling regulations. According to the Department of Conservation's Chief Deputy Jason Marshall, the problem they are now working to fix comes from drilling locations that are not respecting those boundaries.
Well, as the operators had expanded out, they had effectively pushed out the area where exemption could be granted. But in some cases, the exemptions hadn't been sought before the drilling occurred.
Per a state review, there are currently 2,500 wells near clean water. An exemption to drill into some of these locations may be possible after further review.
Part of our challenge and part of the plan that we laid out for EPA is saying, is the criterion for exemption met? And let's get those applications forward to EPA so they can consider those.
The Department of Conservation will work with the EPA to implement the measures outlined in the plans announced today. Ben Krause, Annenberg Radio News.
A new solar plant project launched today in the Riverside County Desert. The new plan will help California meet its renewable energy requirements. The Desert Sunlight Solar Farm will be one of the nation's largest. It's expected to produce energy for over 160,000 homes. The project has received $1.5 billion in federal funding. A big name in politics was on USC's campus today to speak to students and faculty. JT Arose has more.
Today, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi spoke at USC's Political Conversation Series. Pelosi discussed education opportunities for impoverished children and the opportunity gap in the United States. The speaker also discussed the rise of her political career, Obama's executive immigration action, and congressional gridlock. At the end of the hour-long conversation, Pelosi argued that the American government and the world would benefit from more diversity, particularly by adding more women and minorities to the mix.
But I'm telling you, we really do need more women in politics. The rate we're going, and not just politics, corporate America, the military, you name it, the academic world, any sphere, the more women in leadership.
Pelosi's the first woman to be Speaker of the House. JT Arose, Annenberg Radio News.
Students around the USC campus are seeing the Department of Public Safety issue more tickets for people who break the school's biking policy. Alex DuPlessis has more.
USC's Department of Public Safety ramped up its enforcement of its bike policy around campus today. Bike collisions happen regularly on campus, so now DPS is ticketing riders who use the wrong side of the street. Some students, like Cameron Kwan, are in favor of the move.
I'm always seeing people run into each other and people have accidents. Before, I used to ride a scooter, actually, and I split my chin open, and I have a scar that I still have to take care of to this very day. So I think it has a place on campus.
Still, others feel that DPS should focus their time elsewhere.
It's silly. There's much better things to be doing with their time. It's such a minor offense that's really affecting nobody, and there's so many greater crimes happening in this area.
Students violating the policy could receive up to $300 in fines. Alex DuPlessis, Annenberg Radio News.
Rick Orlov, a longtime reporter for the Los Angeles Daily News, died last week at age 66. Today, mourners gathered at City Hall to remember the veteran journalist.
Friends, family, and colleagues of LA Daily News reporter Rick Orlov gathered at City Hall today to honor the life of a man who covered Los Angeles politics for 27 years. Ron Hossey, the president of the Daily News, spoke about Orlov's impressive legacy.
Because what Rick passed on to all of us was an understanding and the capability to do hard things and to never quit.
Both Mayor Garcetti and LA City Council President Herb Wesson took the podium to emphasize Orlov's importance to the city.
His columns were as important as the columns that hold up this room.
There will never, ever be another Rick Orlov.
Wesson also announced he would be introducing a motion to name City Hall's press room after the celebrated reporter. Grace DeWitt, Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Allison Brett with today's Root Source.
Today's segment comes from a debate in the New York Times. The paper of record received comments about this headline: Obama homes in on its new Secret Service director. What's the debate? You say home in, someone else says hone in.
Hone in on. I don't know, it sounds a lot better than home in.
I really don't know what either of those terms mean. I have no clue what home in is and home, whatever you say. I can't tell the difference. Yeah.
Home in means to direct something to a target. Its use began in the 19th century to describe homing pigeons. Hone in began as another version of home in. Hone in means to focus attention on an objective. Many people regard home in as an error, but many grammar experts say either one works.
In 1939, three novels were written that came to define Los Angeles. Maureen Lee Lanker takes us back into the literary past of our city.
Los Angeles, sun-soaked paradise, home to movie stars, orange groves, and endless summer. Los Angeles, gritty, neon-soaked nightmare, a city where dreams go to die amid oppressive sunshine and concrete. Are either of these your Los Angeles? They are the LA of three classic American novels that were published 75 years ago in 1939. Raymond Chandler's The Big Sleep, Nathaniel West's Day of the Locust, and John Fonte's Ask the Dust. David Yulin, book critic for the LA Times, believes that these authors describe a city that both celebrates and subverts its own mythology, embodying what he dubs the sunshine noir dialectic.
I think that those three
novels, which I think of really as a kind of trilogy of books by different writers, all of those catalyze a sensibility or a point of view, which is a kind of contrarian dystopian. What happens when you get to paradise and it turns out not to be paradise? What's the sort of darkness underneath the sunshine surface? That tension, which I think is one of the fundamental tensions of the place.
To illustrate what Yulin's talking about, listen to this passage from Raymond Chandler's The Big Sleep.
I drove north across the river on into Pasadena, through Pasadena, and almost at once I was in orange groves. The tumbling rain was solid white spray in the headlights. The windshield wiper could hardly keep the glass clear enough to see through. But not even the drenched darkness could hide the flawless lines of the orange trees, wheeling away like endless spokes into the night.
Looking at darkness beneath the surface, we turn next to Day of the Locust by Nathaniel West.
Where else should they go but California, the land of sunshine and oranges? Once there, they discover that the sunshine isn't enough. They get tired of oranges, even of avocado pears and passion fruit. Nothing happens. They don't know what to do with their time. Their boredom becomes more and more terrible. They realize that they've been tricked and burn with resentment. The sun is a joke. Oranges can't titillate their jaded palates.
And here's a glimpse of John Fonte's Ask the Dust.
After a while, after big doses of the Times and the Examiner, you too will whoop it up for the sunny South. You'll eat hamburgers year after year and live in dusty, vermin-infested apartments and hotels. But every morning you'll see the mighty sun, the eternal blue of the sky. And the streets will be full of sleek women you'll never possess. And the hot, semi-tropical nights will reek of romance you'll never have. But you'll still be in paradise, boys, in the land of sunshine.
I have to assume that they were each staking out their own vision or their own sense of how L.A. worked, what L.A.'s sensibility was. It's fascinating that those sensibilities overlap so closely. I mean, there are passages from those books that almost, you know, are interchangeable. You could sort of hold them up next to each other, and you'd be hard-pressed to say which book they came from, particularly in terms of the boredom of the people who come here, the kind of relentlessness of the sunshine, the need or the desire for spectacle.
Yet despite the shared sentiments and sense of atmosphere, these novels distinctly belong to a subsection of the city, a specific time and place. As David Yulin explains, no one book captures the city and its identity as a whole.
None of them are sort of big sweeping novels that attempt to sort of tell the whole story of the city. I actually think that that is an impossibility in L.A. I'm not saying that there couldn't be one, but I have not seen one because I think the city is too sprawling and diverse to really accommodate that kind of novel.
So then, L.A. does not have a single defining story, but it does have a definitive mythos, an aura that seems to imbue the city and its people with a dark gleam. L.A.'s ambiance, then, pervades even its cultural output, becoming a part of its mythology, a strong sense of atmosphere, lacking a central story. But who knows? Maybe your Los Angeles will be the story the city is waiting for.
Give me some of you. Los Angeles, come to me the way I came to you. My feet over your streets. You pretty town. I loved you so much. You sad flower in the sand. You pretty town.
That report was from Maureen Lee Lanker. Perhaps one of the most shocking moments of last night's Grammy Awards was when Beck won Album of the Year, beating both Beyonce and Sam Smith. Still wondering who he is? Neon Tommy, USC's online news source, has the answer on neontommy.com. That's it for today. We had help today from Caitlin Plummer, Diana Crandall, Alana Bracken, Rania Niftos, Giovanni Mujayez, and Ben Dunn. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Martha Daniel is the newscast producer, And the executive producer is Victor Figueroa. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Faith Miller.